Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents HBR Guide to Leading Through Change by Harvard Business Review, narrated by Shannon Condon and Timothy Andres Pabon. Publisher's note: this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. All figures and tables referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. What you'll learn. Change affects every part of our life, especially our professional world. From CEO transitions and digital transformations to process improvements and software upgrades, none of it is easy. Change is complex. A small change in one place can cause a huge ripple of unintended consequences elsewhere. Change is messy. Things don't go as planned. Deadlines get missed. Scope creeps. People see things differently. Communication breakdowns occur. Change can be transformational. Financial positions can shift from dramatic losses to profitability. Departments can evolve from competing for resources to collaborating. Learning occurs, even from failures. Managers are often caught in the tumult of change. It's your responsibility to lead others through transformational periods. But visions and schedules are passed down to you, and you often have little say in how things are executed. Communication lags, so sometimes your team is laboring on an initiative that folks a few levels up recently decided to nix. How can you be a conduit for positive change? How can you take the information available to you and deliver it to your team in the most efficient and effective manner, and get them on board? Whether the change facing you and your team is major or minor, whether you're in the thick of a transformation or it's looming on the horizon, this guide will help you understand what change is and what makes it so difficult, and give you the skills you need to effectively communicate and carry out change. You'll learn how to identify the core tenets for successful change, no matter the type, size, or scale. Establish a shared vision and definition of success. Communicate effectively even amid uncertainty and chaos. Understand why resistance is happening, what it looks like, and how to address it. Help your team grow comfortable with ambiguity. Get buy-in from your people, even the pessimists. Build trust on your team. Carry out decisions, even those you don't agree with. Deliver feedback and bad news to higher-ups. Manage strong emotions like fear and exhaustion. Create a learning culture where failures are viewed as opportunities for growth. Keep your team motivated, even when things go awry. Build your own and your team's agility for the long term. Section 1. Understanding Change. Chapter 1. Change is Hard. Here's How to Make It Less Painful. By Erica Anderson. Every leader has had the experience of sharing an organizational change. A new system or process, a corporate restructure, a shift in the business model, and getting a less than positive response from their team. Sometimes the reaction is subtle. Lowered eyes, tightened lips, silence. With a more confident or vocal team, you might get questions about whether the change is necessary, complaints about yet another thing to do, and lots of reasons why this just isn't a good time for a big shift. Why is change so hard for us? Blame our history as a species. Until the past few generations, most people's lives stayed very much the same from beginning to end. People grew up where their parents had grown up, did the work their parents had done, believed and knew the things previous generations had believed and known. Change, when it came, was generally an aberration and a danger. But these days, the world is different. Major change happens moment to moment. Economically, environmentally, sociologically, politically, and organizationally. Given all this, we need to rewire ourselves to be more comfortable with and open to change. We need to become more change-capable. Shifting our mindset. I've been fascinated by change and our human response to it my whole adult life. When I founded Proteus International, a coaching, consulting, and leadership developmental training firm, our mission was focused on change. We help clients clarify and move toward their hoped-for future. That remains our mission today. And in working with clients over the years to make changes large and small in their organizations, my colleagues at Proteus and I have observed what happens when an individual embraces a proposed change. There's a simple, predictable, and powerful pattern. We've come to call this pattern the change arc. Figure 1-1 in the accompanying bonus PDF. When a change is first proposed, most people immediately want to know three things. What does this change mean to me? Why is it happening? And what will it look like when the change has been made? We gather this information intuitively to begin to assess the level of risk and difficulty involved in the change. As people begin to ask these questions, their initial mindset, again, based on many thousands of years of change being seen as a threat, is usually that the change will be difficult, costly, and weird. Difficult means, I don't know how to do this, and or other people are going to make it hard for me to do this. Costly means, this will take from me things I value. This may be time or money, but is likely to involve more intrinsic and invisible valuables like identity, power, reputation, or relationships. And weird just means strange or unnatural. This isn't the way we do things around here. In observing this pattern in our clients and in ourselves, we noticed that people only begin to be open to accepting, embracing, and making a change when their mindset starts to shift from, this change is going to be difficult, costly, and weird, to, this change could be easy, rewarding, and normal. Once someone starts to believe that a change could be easy, or at least doable, to make, that the rewards of making the change will outweigh the costs, and that the change could become normal, that is, that it could be the way we do things, then that person starts to be willing to operate in the new ways the change requires. They'll learn and do the new behaviors, and the change can occur. Unfortunately, people often get stuck in their initial negative mindset about a change and refuse, either quietly or overtly, to support it. And organizations and their leaders aren't very skilled at helping their people make that mindset shift. There's a well-known statistic from McKinsey & Co. that 70% of organizational change efforts fail, and that the primary reasons for that level of failure are lack of management support and employee buy-in. From our observation, that lack of support and buy-in are a consequence of people staying in the difficult, costly, and weird mindset, and not being helped to see the change in a more neutral or even positive way. How leaders can support the easy, rewarding, and normal mindset. So how can you, as a leader, better support your people to make the mindset shift that will allow them to embrace change? To become more change-capable? By using change levers. Like physical levers, change levers are force multipliers that help accelerate people through their mindset shift around change. These are powerful tools for supporting your people through their change arc more quickly and easily, allowing changes to be adopted successfully. Here are four straightforward approaches you can take. Increase understanding. The first thing people want is foundational information about the change. Too often, organizations communicate a change in a cheery, superficial way. We're going to be converting to a new invoicing system, and it's great. That doesn't provide what people need. And, in fact, can simply increase their sense of risk. It's most helpful to create and communicate a simple summary of the change that outlines what it is, why it's happening, the better future you'll have post-change. For instance, instead of the superficial message given earlier, this summary might sound like this. We're going to be converting to a new invoicing system that's based on a platform that will work seamlessly with our current CRM. We're making this change based on feedback from both our clients and our salespeople that the current system takes too long and yields too many errors. Once we've made the transition, which we believe will take about 4 months, including the training we'll be offering to all system users and the behind-the-scenes work to transfer the information, invoicing will be much simpler, faster, and more accurate. It's important that this summary be realistic, that it acknowledge the time and effort the change will require, and that it lets people know how you'll support them with information, training, etc. to make the change. Once you've created this case for change, expect and be prepared to answer questions about it. Because we're wired to believe that most change is dangerous, we generally shift to a more neutral or positive view only when we get the necessary information, stories, and experience to help us frame it differently. Clarify and reinforce priorities. Letting people know what isn't changing as well as what is changing can be very reassuring. Quite often, even a major change won't have much impact on people's key priorities. Let's say that you're reorganizing your sales force into industrial verticals, away from a geographic focus. By confirming that the roles and responsibilities of the account managers, inventory and planning people, and sales support staff will remain largely the same, and that the overall sales goals aren't changing either, you can help people focus on what needs to change, instead of worrying about all the things that will be staying very much the same. So rather than saying some version of, "Don't worry, not everything is changing," you might say something more specific to clarify the priorities. Though we'll be reorganizing the existing sales teams to work in category verticals, and your sales goals will be industry specific, your core priorities are still to build and maintain great client relationships while meeting your financial targets. Check your change. 3 questions to ensure you're on the track to success. By Ron Ashkenas. If your organization, or your piece of it, struggles with effectively implementing change, ask 1. Do you have a common framework, language, including definitions, and set of tools, from software to checklists, for managing significant change? 2. To what extent are your plans for change integrated into your overall project plans and not put together separately or in parallel? 3. Who is accountable for effective change management in your organization? Managers or experts, whether from staff groups or outside the company. Give control. Especially with large-scale organizational change, employees can feel at the mercy of forces over which they have no say. By giving your people as many choices as possible during the change, you can reduce their fear and discomfort and increase the chances of engagement and buy-in. A few years ago, we were working with a U.S.-based multinational that had just acquired a company headquartered in Latin America. The CHRO of the acquired company was worried about the change. She assumed the acquiring company would impose its systems, that she would have less influence, and that the acquirer might not understand or respect some of the HR policies necessary in her company's part of the world. She assumed the change would be difficult, costly, and weird. Her new boss gave her control in a variety of ways. He worked with her to come up with the timing for the transition to the new systems. And he asked her to create a communication plan for how and when she wanted to announce the changes to her team. He also invited her to outline any LATAM-specific HR practices that she and her team would need to continue that weren't part of the larger company's HR processes. Giving her some elements of control in this way helped shift her mindset from negative to more supportive of the change. She began to focus on how to make the change easier and more rewarding for her team and for the rest of the acquired company's employees. Give support. Finally, but in some ways most importantly, your people need consistent support throughout any change that affects them directly. Too often, leaders try to talk people out of what they're feeling, or even just ignore it, assuming they'll eventually get with the program. It's critical to remember that, as a leader, by the time you communicate a change to your people, you've generally had some time to go through your own change arc. But we often expect our employees to be as accepting of the change from that first moment as we are after our own months of thought, questioning, and mindset shift. Give them a little time to be worried, to hesitate, to ask questions, to want to know the impact on them, even to be sad or anxious. Listen. Summarize their concerns and ask what you can do to address them. Rather than labeling it resistance, recognize they're going through the same arc you went through. They need to understand and process the proposed change, and then move through their mindset shift about the change. If you give people support in the early days of a change by listening deeply to their concerns and questions, without being dismissive or overly reassuring, they'll feel heard and supported. You're concerned about how much time it's going to take to learn this new system, you might say. And given all that's on our plates, that's a legitimate worry. If you take in and summarize their concerns in this way, honestly and neutrally, they'll most likely be open to hearing about the more tangible support you can offer. Training, tools, demos or simulations, mentors or affinity groups. As a leader, if you can understand that initial fear and hesitation around change are normal, rather than assuming it means that people are change-resistant or negative, and support your people through the necessary mindset shift, you'll be much better able to build a critical mass of people who will understand, accept, and adopt the change reasonably quickly. More important, you'll be helping your people to become more change-capable overall, to create skills and habits of mind to approach change in a more neutral, open way, and therefore to be better able to navigate all the changes that will arise in this new era. Chapter 2. 10 Beliefs That Get in the Way of Organizational Change. By Francis X. Fry and Anne Morris. Let's acknowledge a hard truth. A colleague you love or respect may be playing a role in unproductively lowering your organization's metabolic rate. Maybe it's even you. People often ask us about the right timing for big change. And our answer is almost always the same. How about now? Now is typically the right time to accelerate excellence. But first, you need to address some of the common assumptions that may be holding your team back. 1. Meaningful change happens slowly. When we view the human story from the luxury of distance, progress can take decades, generations, even centuries or longer. History may take that long. But change can be measured in the minutes, hours, and days it takes to identify a problem and start the flywheel of action that ultimately leads to solutions. Indeed, if you look closely, history lurches forward when changemakers decide that the moment that matters most is now. 2. We can do it later. The most successful change leaders we know are acutely aware of the cost of not now. The high price a system pays when it's static. They live the adage that comfortable inaction is riskier than uncomfortable action. In the national reckoning on justice and race that followed George Floyd's murder, Bill Val, CEO of Fresenius Medical Care North America, stood up and essentially said to the organization, "I don't yet know exactly what we're going to do, but I know we have to start now." He then moved quickly to empower a team to help build a stronger culture of belonging at the company. 3. Other people's time is an abundant, low-cost resource. If you're in a leadership role, your colleagues' time is the most strategic resource you have the privilege of consuming. The leaders who get speed right treat that resource preciously. By doing everything from helping their teams to prioritize ruthlessly to carefully planning and facilitating meetings, the leaders who don't get speed right tend to use other people's time casually. 4. We need more information. In a letter to Amazon shareholders, Jeff Bezos argued that most decisions should be made with about 70% of the information you want. Some of the leaders we know who've stumbled in leading change were holding out for 100% of the information they wanted, including crystal ball confidence in the endings of stories not yet written. Precisely how employees would react to a decision, for example, or how competitors would respond to a bold strategic move. It felt safer to these leaders to have more meetings and run more scenarios. But that sense of safety was illusory. All that waiting made the organization more vulnerable, not less. 5. Going fast is reckless. We'll defer to the rhetorical mastery of Ralph Waldo Emerson. He really did go by Waldo, for a more poetic way to say this. In his essay on the topic of prudence, he observed that, "In skating over thin ice, our safety is our speed. For those of you who are still suspicious of moving fast, keep this quote handy. A counterintuitive truth about speed is that it can make us safer rather than less safe by reducing our chances of falling through the metaphorical ice." 6. Going slowly is righteous. At the risk of repeating ourselves, we're going to say this another way. If you have not laid a strong foundation of trust, inclusion, and clarity, then please slow down and reassess. Take your foot off the accelerator. For everyone else, know that you're putting at risk your chance to make meaningful change. There is such a thing as being too late. 7. Our people are stretched too thin. Some of you may be slowing things down, even without realizing it, as an antidote to some other social or organizational ill such as anxiety, burnout, or distraction. When those feelings are showing up at scale in an organization, then downshifting is unlikely to help much. Deal directly with those problems. When leaders build trust by solving the right problems and taking care of their stakeholders, they can go as fast as their problems require. 8. We have to be great at everything we do. If you're unwilling to be bad at some things, then it means you're also unwilling to free up the resources, capital, time, energy, to truly excel at others. If you want to overperform on speed, you'll have to underperform on some organizational behavior. The trick is to choose something that both enables faster speed, to be bad in the service of great, and doesn't destroy trust with key stakeholders. This isn't as hard as it sounds. 9. Structure is the enemy of speed. The Navy SEALs have a famous adage that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. We interpret this to mean, among other things, that while reducing friction can take some extra time in the near term, investment in process yields a faster pace on the other side. In our experience, creating good, clear operating systems is the best friction-reducing strategy available to you. At a minimum, make an agenda for your next meeting. 10. We need more time to prepare. Anticipation of change introduces anxiety into an ecosystem, and the antidote is to replace it with actual change. The longer you wait to lead change that's needed, the more time the humans around you have to hallucinate, a favorite term of our colleague Tom DeLong, about all the catastrophic turns the uncertain future could take. There's also rip-off-the-band-aid value to getting on with things that allows you to create a momentum right out of the gate. As we've said before, simply begin. Chapter 3. The Most Successful Approaches to Leading Change, by Deborah Rowland, Michael Thorley, and Nicole Brockman. Management of long-term, complex, large-scale change has a reputation of not delivering the anticipated benefits. A primary reason for this is that leaders generally fail to consider how to approach change in a way that matches their intent. Consider Ling Yen, a client of ours and finance director at an industrial manufacturing company. She sat with her leadership team, aware that the board's decision to set up a global organization for the company's specialist functions would not sit well with them. They had been through 2 global restructures in the last 4 years, with mixed success. Those changes had required endless governance reporting back to HQ, as well as toolkits and implementations that change-weary local businesses were finding only partially relevant. Ling Yen decided that she couldn't ask her people to go through that type of change again. How could she approach this change in a way that was different, sustainable, and less effortful? When we ask leaders what they think about when deciding how to go about any major organizational change, they often struggle to answer. Too often, their attention is focused on the what of change, such as a new organization strategy, operating model, or acquisition integration, not the how, the particular way they will approach such changes. Such inattention to the how comes with the major risk that old routines will be used to get to new places. Any unquestioned, default approach to change may lead to a lot of busy action, but not genuine system transformation. Through our practice and research, we've identified the optimal ways to conceive, design, and implement successful organizational change. 4 change approaches. Our change approaches framework, comprising 4 distinct approaches to change, steers leaders through their choices, helping them assess what model they currently use and make decisions about the optimal approach to take. See Figure 3-1 in the bonus PDF. This often requires a shift in leadership attitude and skill. Directive change. A tightly controlled series of steps and recipes are prescribed by top management, who alone decide on the direction of the change, the what, and the way to get there, the how. There is close control over what needs to be done. Change is led through marshaled programs, and buy-in is demanded. There is minimal capability building, and communications are in one-way transmit mode. The predominant leader mindset is, I can manage change. To Ling Yen, this sounded familiar. Self-assembly change. While top management has a clear definition of the change direction, implementation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?